Imagine you route a multi-million dollar shipping fleet based on a national weather forecast. The forecast is dead wrong, your ships get absolutely hammered in an unexpected storm, and you decide to sue the meteorologist for your financial loss.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Right, because you can't. In South Africa, the weather service has absolute legal immunity.
Which forces this really fascinating question, right? Like,
Yeah.
how do you regulate something as chaotic as the atmosphere?
And give a government agency a total monopoly on safety information, but still somehow hold them accountable. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah, today we are digging into the South African Weather Service Act 8 of 2001.
Right. And our mission for you is to explore how a government legally defines shields and actually monetizes the weather.
So to pull this off, the government had to kind of detach the Weather Service from standard bureaucracy. They turned it into an independent legal entity.
Oh, like a juristic person.
Exactly. And instead of just politicians running it, you have this incredibly diverse board. We're talking people from agriculture, aviation, and even, the legal and insurance industries.
I mean, that diverse board is crucial when you look at their mandate. They provide free public good services, but crucially, under Schedule I, they are legally the only entity allowed to issue severe weather warnings over South Africa.
The single authoritative voice.
Right, which I have to admit feels a little dangerous at first glance. It's like being in a crowded theater. But legally, there is only one authorized fire alarm allowed to ring. Doesn't bottlenecking life-saving info like that actually put people at risk?
Well, think about the psychology of a crisis. If you have, say, five different private weather apps issuing contradictory evacuation alerts during a massive flood.
Oh, right. Total panic.
Exactly, you get total paralysis.
Yeah.
People literally don't know who to trust or which way to run. By bottlenecking that authority into one voice, they eliminate the noise and actually reduce weather-related impacts.
Okay, I see.
Plus, it fulfills their strict obligations to the World Meteorological Organization. It favors organized safety over a chaotic free market response during disasters.
But maintaining that nationwide safety net and the massive data infrastructure to support it, I mean, that costs an absolute fortune.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of just bleeding tax dollars, the act forces the Weather Service into a second, highly unusual role.
A corporate competitor.
Wait, so they're a public utility, but also a corporate competitor. It's like the National Park Service opening a private for-profit lumber mill.
Well, not quite a lumber mill because the profits don't go to shareholders. Under Schedule II, they sell highly specialized premium forecasts to the maritime industry, aviation, and media sectors.
And where does that money go?
They are legally required to funnel that money right back into the public safety network. It's a closed loop.
Okay, but still, your point about the conflict of interest is huge. They have a massive public advantage. How do you stop them from becoming an unchecked monopoly?
Right, like how do you stop them from price gouging airlines who have literally no choice but to use their data?
Exactly.
Well, Chapter 8 of the legislation anticipates that exact tension. It establishes an independent regulating committee.
Kind of like an oversight board.
Yeah, think of it like giving a referee the right to play in the game, but setting up independent monitors to ensure they don't rig the score. This committee investigates the costs and sets strict price ceilings.
Ah, so they keep them in check.
Right. If the Weather Service tries to charge a margin that reflects monopoly abuse rather than fair market value, the committee simply vetoes the pricing.
Wow, and to maintain that market value, they literally copyright the weather. I was stunned to read that they retain intellectual property rights on their data. Like, how can a government entity own the
Well,
weather?
they don't own the rain, right? They own the model predicting the rain.
Ah, the computer programs.
Exactly. If they didn't legally copyright that forecast, massive private companies could just scrape the government's data for free.
And package it into a shiny app.
Right. Completely undercutting the Weather Service's own commercial arm. By locking down the IP, they protect their ability to participate in the market.
Which is what ultimately funds their primary public duty.
Yep, it all ties together.
So, for you listening, the next time you casually check a weather forecast, just remember what you are actually interacting with.
Yeah, a highly regulated, legally shielded, and thoroughly commercialized piece of national infrastructure.
It completely reframes that simple sun or rain icon on your screen.
It really does.
Which leaves us with this final thought to mull over. If specialized weather data is legally defined as intellectual property that can be bought and sold,
Right.
what happens as climate change accelerates? As severe weather becomes more frequent and harder to predict, could precise, life-saving forecasting soon transition from a fundamental public right into an expensive luxury commodity?